Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And if you can't listen live, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com and punch in Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show, and you will get every single show that we have ever done. And we've done a lot of them. And we're going to keep going because we love basketball. We love promoting it. We love talking about it. And the first Wednesday of each month, which this happens to be with June 1st, we always talk to Kip Ione, the outstanding men's basketball coach at Willamette University in Salem, Oregon. Beautiful Salem, Oregon. And they are a member of the Northwest Conference. Kip, good evening, and how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. What, you say beautiful Salem. It sure was. It was like 80 degrees down here today. So excited for the weather turning in the right direction and to be back on talking with you, Greg.
It's great to have you on, and you'll be on from now on. You weren't on. We just took a month off.
But that's right.
Be on the first Wednesday of the month. It's terrific. People love you. You do a great job of promoting the program. You have a lot of loyal basketball. You don't always think the Northwest Conference athletics, just certain things, but Northwest Conference, with all the schools, Kip, it just has such a tremendous tradition.
Yeah. No, and I think you hit the nail on the head, especially at our level. You know, you don't have the random fan as much that'll wander into a game or decide that they're going to pick up a Bearcat sweatshirt, you know, at Dick's Sporting Goods. But what you do get is people that were associated one way or another during their stay at our institutions, whether they were players, friends of players, faculty, alumni from Willamette, LC, Pacific, doesn't matter. And that strong sense of family that each place and that small, close-knit group that you develop while you're at our institutions really carries forward for the rest of your time. So, you know, we're very lucky that we've got a tremendous following, like you mentioned, not only in our games, but, you know, just in the terms of the outreach and the responses we get on our social media. You know, we're at almost 1,000 followers on our Facebook page. Our alumni newsletter that goes out monthly goes to almost 100 guys throughout the years. You know, and we're lucky in our specific situation at Willamette that Gordy James, you know, who I was lucky enough to play for and coach with, you know, he did 23 amazing years, a Hall of Fame worthy career. And for me to be able to play for him, be an assistant for 7 of those years, and now me going on my 8th year, which is insane to say out loud, you know, we've got over 30 years of continuity, you know, of guys knowing each other and in the family staying together. So we're very lucky in that regard, and we really do enjoy the following we do get.
Kip, I've not asked you this question, and I've asked you a lot of questions. When did you first start thinking about becoming a basketball coach? Can you remember that moment?
I've been around coaching my entire life. My father, Cass, was a head basketball coach of boys and girls at Skyview High School in Billings, Montana. Because in Montana, when I was growing up, the girls' season was in the fall, and the boys' season was in the winter, and they didn't switch those to coincide with each other until after I had left to go into Willamette. So I was around that. He coached at Skyview forever, and then he went to Montana State Billings as an assistant women's coach. He was a track and field sprint state champion coach. So I've seen coaching my entire life. So when I decided to do it myself, I can remember the drive my wife and I were on from the Oregon coast. We were coming back and trying to figure out, as graduating seniors, what in the heck are we going to do with our lives? And I distinctly remember us both talking about, you know, what's really awesome is that experience we had at Willamette Pro Hoop Camp, being coaches for the first time, and, you know, little 10 and 11-year-olds actually ran a screen roll, right? And I remember the feeling that it gave me, that I helped them do that. And I was like, you know, nothing else that we've talked about as far as career path gives me that same feeling. So both of us decided then and there to get on the MAT program as teachers to get our MBAs at Willamette, and I got a hold of Coach, and Coach was like, I've been waiting for you to say that because you should be coaching. Got on his staff, and, you know, fast forward to the day, and here we are.
Kip, besides winning games, and anybody that's in sports is highly competitive, no matter whether they're a referee, whether they're a coach, the player, they want to win. What are two or three other elements that are really important to you? And once again, I want to say naturally, you want to win. You want to win the Northwest Conference. You want to go to the Nationals. What are the maybe two or three other elements that really bring a smile to your face?
Oh, that's a great question, and I think at our level, Division III, it has to be about these reasons I'm going to give you. You know, like you said, everyone that coaches, everyone that thinks from video games to chess, the winning gives you a great feeling. There's no question. That's what drives you to get better. But in our business at Division III and the way it's structured, you know, the kind of barriers to entry you have in terms of recruiting and facilities and budgets, I think it's got to be about a foundation that you believe in to your soul as a person. So for me, that's the really my number one job is developing my guys that I get into men that will go on and be productive as husbands, fathers, et cetera. And that's because that's what Willamette did for me. You know, that's what Coach James' program set up for me. It took me from a pretty cocky young kid coming out of Montana that thought he knew what the world was about and really shaped me and helped me grow into the person I am today. And I truly believe that through basketball and the lessons it teaches, I can do that for my players. So my guys will, you know, if you were able to talk to them or get them to sit down, they'd tell you we do a lot of things, and I'm sure a ton of my colleagues do it because I know them and respect them and know what their values are as well. We do a ton of stuff that has literally nothing to do with putting that ball in the basket. We do a lot of character development, a lot of defining masculinity, and a lot of putting them in positions that I can watch them grow from 18-year-old freshmen who really do seem young to the 21, 22-year-olds like this class of seniors I just saw graduate in May. And I can go to bed at night knowing they're fine and they're ready to go out in the world the way I want them to be.
I read a very interesting thing this week, Kip, and I think everybody – whether you're 5 years old or 80 years old, probably should read it. I would say 95 to 98% of people in sports couldn't name Michael Phelps, who's probably, maybe when you think about the most decorated athlete of all time, won more Olympic gold medals than anybody, his coach. But his coach has written a book, but he had a short article in Forbes Sports Money, which is a tremendous deal, and I have no horse in the game, but it's really, and it talks about the three key elements to being successful are you have to have a vision, mental rehearsal, and the last thing is practice. And, you know, we often make fun of practice, but boy, when you read this, what he had to say, and when I listen to people like you, you know, practice is what makes great games great.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and I mean, it's funny you mentioned that because we've actually taken the approach this offseason as a staff that our approach and practice and the tools that we bring to the floor as a coaching group, myself, Coach Jonathan Willis, Coach Kevin McRae, the stuff we bring to the floor has got to improve. And taking a look at, you know, I've read a number of books like yourself. I love reading and finding articles, whether they're directly about basketball or they're about the scrutiny the stand-up comics face and how they're probably one of the best data tests you can do in terms of practicing your craft because they go out every night and try something and get live reaction in the moment. And I think that's very applicable to basketball. And in terms of our coaching, we're trying to adjust every way we do things. I think there's a lot of things we can get better at just from the way we ask questions to our players. If you think about just in terms of, and I'm going to throw really geeky coaching terms at you, but we're really intent right now on figuring out, are we immediate feedback coaches or are we summary feedback coaches? Meaning, how often are our guys getting messages from us and what version of that is actually the best for this group? And I know it sounds dorky, but it does keep us in the staff meetings up, and it's a great conversation, and I think it's huge because our practices have to be better. Our practices have to replicate the chaos of a basketball game better for us to compete with the great teams in this league. I think we've done too much of scripting a perfect practice, so the practice is great. People will come to practice and say, wow, Willamette's organized. But that doesn't get you ready for the chaos Whitman throws at you when you get off the bus in Walla Walla. And for me as a coach, to close that gap, that's something I absolutely have to get better at because, you know, Bridge and Matt Logie at Whitworth and all the great coaches in this league, they're doing the same thing this offseason.
Yeah, and I think it's safe to say is what you're doing now basically wins games in November, December, January, and February.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're 100% right. And I think as coaches, it's very easy for us to always put together great off-season workout plans for our guys. Hey, this is the lifting program. This is the drills. Here's the shots you're going to get up. And you guys got to get better. You guys got to get better. But sometimes you got to stop and look in the mirror and go, man, am I good enough? And I think that's the part that we're really diving into and trying to be very honest with ourselves. We ask our guys to exist in truth in our team. And as a staff, we got to do the same thing for ourselves, because if you have a season where you don't reach the goals, you can't. At some point, you've got to divorce the story, marry the truth. And the truth was, we didn't coach these kids well enough. And that's really spurred us into, let's go get better as a staff. You know, we're past the days where we need to go get shots up and lift as coaches, but we can go do those mental reps you talked about. We can go listen to smart people talk. We can read a lot of smart articles. We can buy DVDs from better coaches than ourselves and really dive into improving our toolkit, so when the kids come back better, you know, we're worthy of going out there with them on the floor as well.
I really am a strong believer in visualization, and I'll tell you why. From tee to near the green, I'm horrible. And I have this mindset that I cannot do it. I cannot do it. But once I get within 30 feet of the putting green, I am as good as anybody, because I have the idea that I'm going to make everything. And it's not corny. It's power of positive thinking, and it's visualization, and it should apply to all sports.
Well, I think it does. You know, that's one of the things we're really looking into is there's a theory out there called self-determination theory, and I think you just kind of spoke to it, in that there's a lot in basketball. There's a lot of skills we teach. There's a lot of fundamentals that every coach you bring on, all of us would agree that is a very important skill of the game, but how each individual player executes that skill is always going to be different. They have different body types. They have different strength levels. They have different mental approaches to the game. So sometimes I think as a coach, we can get in our kids' heads. Like you just said, you're in your own head from before you get to the putting surface. We can do that by giving them too many mental blocks on a specific skill. So the more I think we can allow them to mentally visualize how they can figure it out. How can you fix the fact that your shot is flat? How can you self-organize with me showing you, hey, it's flat rather than 47 ways to shoot the basketball from toe up to your fingers? That's too many checklists. Let's just make sure it's not flat and see how the player goes through that process. And that's what we're trying to do, and it's not easy. As a coach, you want to control everything. I mean, my wife will tell you, I try to control a lot of things that I have no business trying to control. And so that's something we're really working on as a staff at Willamette.
In your own opinion, taking all the basketball out of it, what sport would you study or want to, I guess a better question would be, what sport do you study outside of basketball that makes you a better basketball coach?
Great question. Oh, man, I think there's conversations I've had with coaches from every sport that have been beneficial to me. But the one that I really dive into, and this probably has to do with my family, you know, being Samoan, there's more Samoans play football than hoops. And my brother is an associate head football coach at Montana State. So I'm actually reading now Smart Football 1 and 2 by Chris Brown. Phenomenal books. And football, the reason I think it's very applicable to basketball is they have 11 moving parts. And the way they go about getting 11 moving parts has to be applicable to me getting 5 to move around. I think some of the speed and explosiveness aspects of the game are similar. I think a lot of the spacing concepts you see, whether it's in blocking schemes or pass routes, I think all those are very similar conceptually to what we're trying to do. So I spent a lot of time diving into the behind-the-scenes nature of football, and probably just because I'm lucky enough to have access to it through my brothers, through close friends of mine that are coaches on the football side, and I like to pick their brains a ton about ways they go about doing things.
If I asked this question of the NWAC coaches this week, and we had a lot of fun with it, and they were very candid, and they all answered it basically the same way, a little differently, but mm-hmm. at this stage of your successful coaching career, is there anybody out there, and I don't want you to name any names, that's not fair, but is there anybody out there that the important part of winning the game is because you can't stand the other coach?
That is a great question. I think, the way I would answer it is I think I'm lucky enough to coach in a league where all of us despise losing. But at the same time, all of us have a very healthy idea of the balance between that hatred of losing and doing things the right way. So I absolutely enjoy battling my counterparts in this league. I enjoy watching the film and going, gosh, I know exactly why he's doing that to us. That's so smart, but here's how we're going to counter him. That part's a lot of fun because there's a lot of coaches in this league that teach me stuff every day on film. But then in the game, there's absolutely moments you look at your staff and smile a little bit for an adjustment you made. You see work, and then you look at them again and go, God dang it, he came right back at us. That was really smart. What are we going to do? So I would say it's more of a competitive respect and more of a race than it is, hey, I hate you, I want to beat you. It's more, can I get to the next milestone that everybody wants to grab, or can I get to the next smart thing the league shifts towards before you do, because I know you're on your way to the same place. That's how I would characterize it in our league.
I'm always interested personally, and I think our listeners are too, about thought patterns of people. Without giving away proprietary information, how does the administration at Willamette look at basketball? Is it an integral part of the school? Is it something that, how would you describe it?
I think I'm in a very lucky situation from the top, the very head top of our administration at Willamette all the way through my direct supervisor, Val Cleary. They all see what we do as a function of what Willamette's supposed to do for students in general. They're all very aware of my foundation of developing men, building a legacy, and creating a family. And that is in line with what they're trying to do with Willamette students to prepare them, to live up to the school motto, not unto ourselves alone are we born. So I think there's been a little bit over the years of having to advertise ourselves a little bit internally. But I've got great players that's easy for them to do, whether that's through the classroom work they've accomplished, whether that's through the community service work they've done. We've gotten the attention on us, and then that's allowed us to kind of show ourselves off. And in doing so, kind of endear ourselves to the powers that be. And I think it's, like I said, it's not just for winning. We've got years where we haven't won the way we want to. It's because they see that our guys through this game that we all care a lot about are also supporting and forwarding the school's mission statement for every kid that comes to Salem to be a Bearcat at Willamette.
How tough is it for you personally to tell a parent, parents, or a player, no, you're not good enough to play basketball in Willamette?
That's really hard. Yeah, it's amazing timing. We're launching our 2017 recruiting class. And part of that is all of May watching a ton of films and a lot of kids that want to play college basketball. And every single one of them has put in a lot of hours. Every single one of their parents has sacrificed a lot to get them on their summer travel teams, to get them to their high school camps, to put together the highlight videos and reach out to us or have other, all the various ways we get the names and the films in front of us. And then as a staff, we've got to pick from, for example, this pool right now that we just finished off in May of watching film and going over live scout notes is about 90 kids. You and I both know I can't have 90 basketball players at Willamette University. So it was a very tough week in terms of having to tell X amount of kids, hey, listen, you just it's just not right. It's not the right fit here in Salem for you. And that's never easy, being a guy that wanted to be recruited and found himself lucky enough to be at Willamette. There's a lot of no's you hear from colleges. But we believe in honesty throughout the process, so hopefully we can get people the answer right away. Either, yes, we are going to start recruiting very heavily, or it's not going to work here at Willamette, but this gives you a ton of time to go find a place where it could work for you. So that's kind of what we've tried to build our recruiting on. But if you're right, it's never easy. Everyone's mom, dad is 100% supporting their player, and the players all of them have put in a ton of hours. But like you said, at the end of the day, it's not an infinite amount of opportunities. We have our recruiting needs by position, by number, by sheer budget, what we can afford to have at our school. So we've got to be very judicious in who we do go after.
Kip, as you and I both know, and a lot of people listening know to this program, minority students sometimes struggle in school, especially in the high school level. They may not have the parent. They may be from a one-parent family. They may not even know their parents, being raised by a grandmother or anything. Is it important on the Division III level to have a window where those kids that might not have the greatest grades, you take a chance on them, which isn't always the case in a lot of prestigious schools? And I consider Northwest Conference schools top to bottom pretty prestigious.
Yeah, I think the best way to answer that is you want to make sure you're at a university that's concerned with its access. And I think Willamette University is absolutely concerned with access to the great job that everyone, faculty, campus life, athletics at Willamette does for any student that we bring on campus. So I think as long as you work at a place that is constantly not just giving lip service to the term access, but is working and has smart people in positions of power that can really go at it and make change if there needs to be an increase in access. And I know, without, like you said, without giving away insider secrets, I know Willamette is always concerned about access and always striving to make sure it's an experience that any kid that wants to be a Bearcat that can get the job done has the ability and the access to our institution.
A little plaudits to you and Mr. McKinney, your great SIP. I think that And so do our listeners and myself really appreciate so many schools fail to put their schedules up even after they're done. But you guys got your schedule up for all your fans out there, and I love that because, I'm trying to create more interest in basketball, and I have.
Absolutely.
And it's not bragging. I'm a humble guy. But people want to go to games. They want to plan.
Yep.
We're a nation
Absolutely.
Of planners. So way to go.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Robert's name, Robert McKinney, our sports information director, because that's a guy that will never get the credit he deserves. Here's a guy at our level that doesn't have a full-time staff to help him with all the articles, with all the postings, with all the details. And the thing I appreciate about Robert is he's very much in tune with what I expect. And the amount of detail that he puts into his job makes me want to make sure I do the same amount on mine. Robert gets every comma, every T dotted, the right school, the right year of eligibility, the right dates, the right time. He cares about that stuff. And then that's something that you need to find and search out with wherever you're at in life, is people that care about their job. And Robert absolutely does. So I appreciate you mentioning him. And we are one of the few schools that already has their schedule up on the website and ready to rock for next year.
Yeah, and I book my games in. As I'm going for 160 this year. I'm going to try and see 160 games live in person.
You should hire your own driver.
College basketball games. And I've got three of your games already booked in that I'm going to see, so I do appreciate it. Besides Robert McKinney, is there anybody else that, and I know you're big on not slighting anybody, and I'm the same way, but is there anybody else kind of an unsung person in the Bearcat men's basketball program?
I'm lucky at Willamette in that the way we've divided up all the responsibilities, in the department and at the school, we really do have to get out of our office and go work with people. You know, one of the dean of campus life, David Douglas, is going back into the faculty, and he was an amazing boss and leader of the vision for us, and a guy that I could have conversations with about things that, you know, usually you probably wouldn't have access to the dean as just the basketball coach over at the Sparks compound on campus. So, you know, from that point on, you know, I think I'm lucky enough that when I need something at Willamette, there's a lot of genuine people that are there to try to help me, and that's important because I think what I've learned as a head coach, you get a lot of humbling takes place, and you realize, holy cow, I really have very few answers myself. I could lock myself in a room for a long time and not come up with any of these answers just out of my own brain, but there's smart people all around me that they help me and get me to the places I need to be, and that's something that I appreciate. So, like you said, if I tried to list everybody, I would forget somebody and feel horrible about forgetting them, but I do know that I'm very blessed and work in a place where there's a lot of people that are willing to pick up the phone when Kip calls or pay attention to me when I walk in their office and spout off about something that they really didn't think was going to be a part of their day, but, you know, take the time to listen and help me out.
Great answer, per usual. Let me ask you this question. Is in your coaching mode, and I know you're an outside-the-box guy, which I love, and creative, do you like bringing people in that maybe aren't even Willamette graduates but have a lot to offer to the team? Or would you rather do the other way and find out about those people and then relay it to the team yourself?
Good question. Well, I think that, you know, part of being a career learner is realizing that knowledge, wherever it comes from, is always good. So I think the best example of that for me is if you'd asked me as a player, when I was playing for Willamette and the Linfield Cat Pack was in its heyday, and Coach Larry Doty and the Wildcats were running away with the league title and we were chasing them and playing them in the championship game. And if you'd have said, Kip, when you're the head coach, you're going to call Larry Doty for information, I'd have told you were insane. There's no way. It's Willamette Linfield. There's no way. But, you know, Coach Doty's been amazing for me, even when we were coaching against each other. Just in terms of a resource and a real colleague in terms of how things get how things work in the coaching profession, whether it's X's and O's against each other or just, hey, how do you handle a situation with this freshman and this bad choice? What would you do? So I think I've never had a problem going outside the program. The part that I really try to insulate our guys is when I bring our alumni back and get them to share how this family experience we teach them at Willamette, how it carries on past the court. That part I do try to keep internal and try to bring our guys back because our guys are doing such amazing things all around the world that I'm going to be selfish with that and make sure our guys are seeing their future selves, hopefully, in one of this alumni that gave that pregame speech or this guy that came back to camp and talked to the kids. That part, you know, we will keep, you know, a Bearcat hoop flavor too. But as far as me reaching out for best practices, I have no issues at all going outside of the Willamette family because, you know, at the end of the day, there's just such a vast amount of resources. And if we've done the right thing of being open-minded to that, we've got to take advantage of it.
Kip, we've got a little less than a minute left, and I wanted to just tell you that next month we will kind of break down the 16-17 roster. How does that sound?
Love it. You got to give me more time on the whiteboard because we're still doing that with all the moving pieces.
Right, and that's why some people probably say why we didn't do that tonight. Well, it wasn't appropriate to do it tonight.
It's all theory.
How do people get a hold of you real quick?
You know, I think the easiest number one thing you can do for me is when I get a notification on my phone, shoot me an email at kion@willamette.edu. I'm on Twitter at Coach Ione, our team Facebook, facebook.com/BearcatHoop, and we're heavy on Instagram, WooProHoop. So all of those are available at any time someone can call the Hoops office. You know, our number's listed on the internet, and, you know, if one of us is going to be there, it's probably going to be me. And if you want basketball questions, you know, program questions, schedule questions, always available and ready to talk about the Bearcats and the game.
Very good. Great job tonight. I threw a lot of questions at you, and you handled them perfectly like you always do.
I appreciate it.
You'll be back again the Wednesday of July.
Absolutely. Talk to you then.
You betcha. That's Kip Iohn, the head men's basketball coach at Willamette University. Not only a great basketball coach, but a great person. Loved interviewing me. He's terrific. Good night, everybody. Thank you, Willamette. And thank you, listeners. And we'll be back with Kip, as I said, a month from now. And don't forget to make all your free throws.